Hi, this is Chris Morgan, Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Fellowship Church. We're a non-denominational, full gospel church located in Matthews County, Virginia. Thank you for listening to today's message. We believe you'll be encouraged. For more information about us, visit gocfc.com. God bless and enjoy.
Sustaining and life preserving. And we thank you that it goes forth and it does not return until you void. But it goes out. It accomplishes that for which it was purposed. And it prospers where it's being sent. Hallelujah. So we thank you today, Lord God, for the mighty Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. You're the great teacher and illuminator of the Word of God. You bring life to every word and to the heart and quicken it into each one. Give them eyes to see and ears to hear with. And we thank you for that. And I ask for great unction and utterance in the Holy Ghost. And I thank you for the unction, the articulate speech, the utterance in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the anointing, the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. In this place today, in the name of Jesus, amen. Hallelujah. How many got your sword of the Spirit, word of God? Hallelujah. Do you believe this is God speaking to you? Hallelujah, because that's what it is. It's the same as the voice of God himself speaking to you. So when we receive it like that, amen, hallelujah. So let's make our confession together today. I am a believer and not a doubter. I walk by faith and not by sight. Today, I receive the incorruptible, indestructible Word of God into my heart, and I will never be the same. Never, never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. You believe that? Your words have power. Your words set your course for your life. Your words set the very course of your life. Remember how we talked about the speech center being the dominion center of our lives? We have to train ourselves to speak and say what God says about us. Do you know that that's a process? You don't arrive overnight. You don't ever get there. As long as we're living on this earth, we are always training ourselves to speak what God says about us. We want to welcome all those online this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glad that you join us and just tune right in with us and grab your Bible, grab you a notebook and trust God, believe God with us. Expect and anticipate God's highest and God's best for your life, because that's what he wants for everyone. Amen. Not just for some, but he says, for whosoever will what? Believe. Hallelujah. Whosoever will believe it. Amen. So we've been talking in here about a series about when counterattacks come. What are we going to do? Jesus didn't say if the storms come. Jesus said when the storms come. And as long as we live on this earth, the storms of life will come to all of us. But how are we going to respond? What are we going to do according to the Word of God when it comes to a counterattack? Maybe you've gotten healed in your body, stood for healing, believed you received your healing, and then 6 months go by, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're hit with a pain in the same place that you know you were healed of. Come on now, you know you got healed, but all of a sudden a pain hits you, and this is where we got to know who we are, what we have, and what we can do in Christ. This is how we got to know how to respond by saying and believing what God says about us. Spoken words without faith is no more good than faith without spoken words. Let me say that again. Spoken words without faith is no more good than faith without spoken words. It takes both of them in order for the law of faith to be put in motion. I said it takes both of them. Faith-filled words. When you speak, believing in what you are saying. Believing in what you are saying. Faith-filled words. You know, God has given man the creative power through his words, through your own words. You have the same creative power that God himself had through your words. When God believed and spoke the universe into existence in the book of Genesis chapter 1, he never did anything without speaking it first. God released his faith. He believed in what he said. He said what he meant. He meant what he said, and he believed it. He spoke it, and what? It was so. It's the same way with us. We have to believe the words that we are speaking, and this is when we have to learn to make the Word of God the final authority in our lives. The Word has to become the final authority in your life. It has to have the last and final say-so over and above what everything else, everybody else is telling you or that you might be hearing. Hallelujah. So we said, we made some comments here. P.C. Nelson, a Greek scholar, said, more people lose their healing on counterattacks than anything else. And we found out that the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21, that we're to what? Hold fast to that which is good. We know healing is good. Divine health belongs to you. It was bought and paid for the same time your salvation was bought and paid for. The same exact time. It's just up to you and I to what? Grab a hold of that, claim that, believe that, and say, that's mine. I take it now. That's mine. That truth belongs to me. That's who I am. That's what I have. That's what I can do in Christ according to the Word of God. So the Word of God becomes more real to you than your pain, your symptoms, the lies that you might be feeling in your body. I said the Word of God has to become more real. Real to you than what you are feeling in your physical body. Because remember, we also said that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23 that Paul said by the Holy Ghost, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless until the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the sooner that we get a revelation that we are a three-part being, we are a spirit because we were created in the likeness and the image of God, Genesis 1:26. God says, I made man in my image and my likeness to function like me, a spirit being just like he is a spirit being. So you were made in God's image to be a spirit being, to possess a soul, your mind, your will, your reasoning, your intellect, and to live in this physical body. So God did not give us our physical bodies to contact him with, nor to believe him with. Your physical body was given to you as a house or a shell for your spirit man and your soul so that you can contact this physical world that we live in every single day. So no matter what your body might try to dictate to you or tell you that what you have or what you don't have, you have to believe and know the Word of God supersedes that. Come on now, the eternal changes the temporal. 2 Corinthians 4:18, we look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen, because that which is seen is temporal, but that which is unseen is eternal. So we're looking to that which is eternal, and the eternal is what can change the temporal. So our physical body is, like I heard one woman said, she says, you never look at your body to tell you whether you're healed or not. And remember what I said about Brother Hagin when he was healed of paralysis, a blood condition, and a heart condition. He got a hold of his grandmother's Bible. He found out in there that healing belonged to him, that it was his. It was already bought and paid for. All he had to do was claim it, receive it, and act on it. And he said when it dropped down into his heart, he said, I believe. And he said it with his mouth, because when faith gets a hold of you, it's going to begin to move something on you. What is that, Pastor Debbie? Your mouth first. When faith drops down into your heart and becomes quickened and made real to you, it's going to move your mouth. And so he began to say, I believe I receive healing for my heart condition. I believe I receive healing for the blood condition. I believe I receive healing for my paralysis. And then he acted on it. He was not looking for a feeling first. Are you hearing me? No. He released his faith through his words and he began to act first. Feelings came later. Your body's got to line up, but your body doesn't tell you when you have it, when you don't have it. Listen to me now. You can't allow your body to tell you when you have it, when you don't have it, because it'll be fickle up and down one day. Next day, you've got it. You don't have it. You feel this. You don't feel that. Come on now. No, we got to have something that's steady, that holds you steadfast. That's the word of God. That's eternal. That's sure. Just like those people that built their foundation, and when the storms of life came, they were immovable because they built the house on the rock. The revelation of the Word of God concerning you, who you are. So living in this physical body and learning to become more and more knowledgeable of who God says you are helps you win in this life. The sooner that you get that revelation that you are a spirit being, the real you. And faith is of the heart. Faith starts in the heart and it works outward. Revelation on the inside, you see it here. You get a picture, an image on the inside, because faith will paint a picture. The Word of God paints pictures. When you continue to meditate on it, think on it, dwell on it, entertain the thoughts of God in your heart all the time, it begins to paint a picture. What is the picture? That you are healed already. That healing belongs to you right now. We're not waiting on God to do anything anymore. He's already done everything he's ever going to do in order for you to live successful, healed, whole, provided for, everything you need right here, right now. But it doesn't mean it's going to show up in your life just automatically because God said so. No, he's waiting for us to what? Believe that truth, receive that truth, and then act on that truth. So like I was talking about Brother Hagin, after he made that confession with his faith, because that faith had dropped into his heart and had quickened him, he says, I believe. Then he picked his own legs up and threw them over the side of the bed. Didn't feel like it, didn't look healed, didn't feel healed. No. He was not waiting for a feeling. He was acting his faith. And as he threw his legs over the bed and he pulled his body on the side of the bed, he said all of a sudden a power hit him, went down through his head into his body, and he was standing up beside the bed. Not in his own strength, another strength came into him, into his body, and quickened it, and he was able to stand up firm on his feet. But he did not wait for a feeling first and then do it. No, we got to believe and then act. Feelings will come and line up with our actions, the action of our faith, the action of what we believe and what we're speaking and decreeing and declaring. So we found out that we have to hold fast. Hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which you have in Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. And then we started looking at how do we hold fast. And we said number one was through our what? Our confession. Our mouth. What are you saying on a continual basis? If you do not like where you are in life right now, stop and begin to take control of your words. Because words paint pictures and words set the very course of your life. If you don't like where you're going right now, stop and say, we got sheets of paper back there on our table, many books, handouts that can help you begin to speak what God says about you and get that word in your mouth. Because like I said, if you don't know what that word says and you're not persuaded yet, you have to school yourself in the faith by getting the word of faith in your mouth, into your heart. Romans 10:8, the word of faith is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. So we know you have to continue to what? Say it, say it, say what God says. Confess what God says about you continually, all the time. Well, you don't understand, Pastor Debbie, I'm a quiet person. I don't say much. Well, I'm encouraging you to learn to open your mouth and begin to say much. Say what God's word says about you. Because if you say it long enough, it will convince you of who you are. Even though you may not know and you may not be fully persuaded yet, if you say it long enough, it will convince you. The word, just like it did with Abraham, he was fully persuaded. He believed that what God had said about him, God was able to perform. He didn't consider his body. He considered it not. Sarah considered it not. He said, nope, I can't look at a physical body. I can't look at her. I can't look at myself. Nope, that ain't going to do me any good. He said, I have to continue to look at the promise of God. What God said, that your seed shall be as the sands of the seashore. Come on now. And he had to keep reminding himself of who God said. And every time he spoke his name, when God changed his name, he's saying, Father of many nations. Abraham, father of many nations. Change Sarah's name. Same thing. Every time they were saying each other's names. Oh, my goodness. So we talked about confession and saying the same thing that God says about us no matter what you are feeling. Look. Regardless of the thoughts, regardless of the symptoms, and regardless of what you're feeling in your body, you're learning to train yourself to speak God's word. And like I said, if you've been used to saying all these other things before, it takes time. I've been there. And it comes through continual, just like Pastor Chris was saying Sunday. Your mind doesn't stay no more renewed than your hair stays combing. I don't know about you, but I got to comb my hair all the time. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you have to say it all the time. Renewing of our mind. We're changing our way of thinking for God's way of thinking, what he says about us, right? So we talked about that the Psalms 107 verse 2, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. It did not say let the redeemed of the Lord think so. You can't outthink the devil. Remember, the devil is trying to look for an entry point into your life. He's trying to look for an access into your life, an inroad, so he can get in there. For what, Pastor Debbie? So he can gain more control of your life. But he has to have an access point, an entry level. And usually it begins with your thoughts. And then he comes to get your words. That's why when we looked at last week, Jesus, when he went into the wilderness and he was tempted of Satan, not of God. God tempts no one, neither can he be tempted himself. Hallelujah. But when he was led into the wilderness, Jesus only spoke what the Father had taught him, what God had said. It is written. It is written. He could have had an opportunity to say a whole lot about, I can't believe the devil is doing this to me right now, taking me up here, showing me this, revealing that. No, he said, it is written. It is written. So we're learning to speak and say what God says about us, no matter what it feels like or looks like. And we said that word confession, too, when it talks about it in Hebrews 4:14, it means to agree with God. God needs agreement, just like the devil looks for agreement with your words so he can move further into your life and begin to control more of your life. He looks for words too. Oh, the devil, yeah. Oh. he wants an agreement. And the only way that he can get an agreement is when you start talking like he wants you to talk. Talk the sickness, talk about the pain, talk about, I can't believe the devil is doing this to me. I'm on the run, Pastor Debbie. What are you running from? Hallelujah. You're supposed to be, he's supposed to be running from you, not you running from him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We got to remember who we are now. You the one that's been deputized and authorized, given full, complete power, authority over the enemy. And it's not based on a feeling. You do not base your authority by a feeling. You base your authority on the one who stands behind you, is backing you. Come on now. God himself stands behind the authority that he invested in the name of Jesus when he gave you the power of attorney to use that name. He says, you go. You take authority over the devil. You cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick. In my name, the believing ones that believe these things shall do that. He said, I gave you power and authority, Luke 10:19, to tread upon serpents and scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. That's what he said. So authority is not based on how we feel. Authority is based on who stands behind us. God himself, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, all of the throne of God stands behind you every time when you are, what? Speaking that name. Because the name takes the place of the absent Christ in performing miracles, bringing God on the scene, and exercising authority over the devil. The name of Jesus takes the place of the absent Christ in performing miracles, bringing God on the scene, and exercising authority over the devil. It says, when you speak the name of Jesus, and we've been given that name. Come on now, that's one of the weapons we have. When you speak the name of Jesus, it is as if Jesus himself was standing right there saying, sickness I say, pain I say. Come on now. So we have to agree with God and begin to say what God says about us. Our confession continually, not just in the hard times, but all the time. The importance of speaking, saying. And we found out that we have to say it. We can't outthink the devil. We can outtalk him. When the enemy shows up, you have the last say so. I said, when the enemy shows up, you have the last say so. Don't let him have the last say so. You have the last say so. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. So confession, number two, we talked about how do we hold fast? God said to hold fast of what belongs to us. How do we do this? Number two, by resisting the devil. Brother Hagin said many times, believers are not missing it in the area of their faith. They're missing it when it comes to resisting the devil as they should. They're not resisting the devil as they should. Look, we need to learn to resist anything that is of the devil. Anything that is of the devil. Pain, in the name of Jesus, I resist you. Now you go from me in Jesus' name. You have no place in my body. In Jesus' name, pain, get out. Fear, in the name of Jesus, I refuse to be in fear. I resist fear in Jesus' name. And they all start with what? Thoughts. We talk about resisting the devil because he looks for an inroad, he looks for an entry level, and it all begins with the way you think. You are the one that is in control of what you choose to think on day in and day out. I said, you're the one that's in control of your thought life. Don't allow the enemy to tell you any lie that you're not in control of your thoughts. He's a liar. You are the one that's in control of your thoughts. You choose what you're going to think on a continual basis, all the time. You just got to do like it tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, about casting down those imaginations. cast them down and replace them with what God says about you. Say, no, that's not true about me, devil. In the name of Jesus, I resist you. This is what God says about me. This is what's true about me. This is what I believe. I am who he says I am, an overcomer, more than a conqueror. I am the healed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. I am victorious in Christ. I'm always triumphant in Christ Jesus. Boy, that puts the devil on the run, especially when you what? Believe in the words that you're saying. Hallelujah. So we talked about resist the devil as we should, and it starts with those thoughts. You can't outthink him, but you can outtalk him. You can't fight thoughts, but you can fight thoughts with words, spoken words. Spoken words, out loud. That's what Jesus did, out loud. It is written. He was that example right there. He showed us what to do, and then he overcame it for us. Said, you don't have to go to that wilderness. I did it for you in your place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we need to learn to resist anything of the devil. Learn to do it. Learn to open your mouth. Hallelujah. You've been given authority over it. Remember, there are times when attacks have come against me, and like I've shared before, where the pastor Chris and I have been on vacation, been on a hiking tour, and we're up here in the mountains on some kind of trail, and all of a sudden an attack comes against me, and I'm like, all right, no, you're not going to spoil my vacation, number one. Number two is I'm not going to have no helicopter uplift me out of here and take me to the hospital. I mean, all the pictures, all the thoughts, all the stuff begins to bombard you. It's real. It's real, y'all. But right then and there, I had to stop and I had to grab a hold of my thoughts. I had to grab a hold of myself and say, all right, what are you going to choose to believe right now? Your husband's right here. You're the only two that's on this path at this moment right here in this particular place. Hallelujah. And so I began to say, no, you don't, devil. Nope, I don't accept this lie. You are a liar. You've already been defeated. Get out of my body. You leave now in Jesus' name. Then what did you do? Wait for a feeling? No, I began to act. I began to walk right down that trail, whether it was up, down, sideways. I mean, you know, those trails go all kinds of different ways. Hallelujah. I began to act. I began to act my faith. I spoke some words first, and then I acted it. I spoke because I released my faith and what I believed and what I said, and then I acted right behind it. I did not wait for a feeling. I did not wait for pain to leave. I acted and I trusted God's word. And this is where we have to learn that the word is more real than the pain. I said the word of God is more real than the pain. I remember that time when that cancer showed up right on top of my knee. And I was like, oh, no, you don't, devil. No, you don't. So I always go when I get before the Lord and I say, Lord, how do you want me to deal with this situation, because each time it might be different. You can't act on what somebody else did. No, you have to find out for yourself how the Lord wants you to deal with it. So when that cancer showed up on top of my knee, I went in my prayer closet. I said, Lord, how do you want me to deal with this? What do you want me to do? I know that Satan is trying to bring something against me here. What do you want me to do? Because it's just like some other people, you know, generals in the faith, they have heard, go to the doctor, you'll have this, they're going to do this, and that will be the end of it. Trust me. But he didn't say that. He said, I want you to use your mouth and I want you to begin speaking to it. So every day I put my hand on, I say, in the name of Jesus, I curse your roots. I curse you, cancer. You're trespassing on God's property. I'm the steward of this body. You're trespassing, and you will not live in this body. Did it go after the first day? No. Nope. First week? No. Uh-uh. No. 3 months went by. 3 months went by. then I begin to see it shrink, shrivel, 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 and become nothing. Every single time, you have to know by the Spirit of God how He wants you to deal with different things that come against you, because we live in this world. We live in this world, and none of us are exempt, but we do recognize our authority in Christ. And we have to exercise that authority. But it's listening to the Holy Spirit on the inside and then doing what He says to do. He might just give you a scripture and say, I want you to take a hold of this scripture, or He'll quicken it to you. You'll wake up singing the scripture. You'll wake up speaking the scripture. You'll hear your spirit man before your mind even engages in the morning. You ever been there? Before your mind even cuts in, you can hear your spirit man singing the scripture or speaking the scripture. What is he doing? He's trying to bring a word of life to you, and he wants you to get that word in your mouth and speak it over your life, over your mind, over your body. But many times our lives are so cluttered with all this busy stuff, we don't have time to stop and listen. He's trying to get it. He's trying to get you the answer. I said he's trying to get you the answer. He's not withholding any good thing from you. No, no, no. He's trying to get it to you. But we have to do it and come his way and learn to train ourselves to hear and listen. He's going to speak in here, not out here somewhere. This is where the devil accommodates you, out here. Now, he's just going to, he'll either bear witness in your heart. You'll hear scripture in here, like I said. You'll hear it, and it gets transferred up to your mind, and you'll hear it over and over and over again. You're just like, why does that scripture keep coming up? Take it, write it down. Get that scripture, write it down. It's a reason it's going to keep coming up. Hallelujah. So we talk about, how do we hold fast and resist it with first confession, second resisting the devil as we should? Not to operate in fear. Doesn't mean fear won't come against you. Yes, fear will try to come against you. Believe you me. Hallelujah. But you have to resist fear. Bible, 2 Timothy 1:7, Jesus said it's a spirit of fear. Rebuke fear. See, I refuse to be in fear. I release my faith in what God has spoken. Yeah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so it's so vitally important. Now we're going to look at number 3 today, about how do we hold fast. How do we do this? And he tells us, hold fast to that which is good. Hold fast to that which you have. Healing belongs to you. It is yours. By your confession, by resisting the devil as you should. And thirdly, through praise and thanksgiving. Through praise and thanksgiving. Number 3. We have to believe, according to the Word of God, we're thanking Him and praising Him that His Word is true and He will see you through. Faithfully, victoriously. So through praising and thanking God that we are the healed now. Let's look at Psalms 107, verse 22. Psalms 107, verse 22. We're talking about praise and thanksgiving. How to hold fast. Remember that I shared that testimony about the woman who was totally blind, who got up in a healing line, and a healing evangelist had come in, and when he got to her in that line, he laid hands on her, and she was instantly opened her eyes, and she could see. She was no longer blind. And as she left the meetings and she got home, she noticed 2 or 3 days she started losing her sight. She started going blind again. Listen to me now. She started going blind again. two or three days' time. She'd just been healed totally. She could see fine, no more blindness. In two or three days' time, she noticed each day she got worse and worse and worse until she was totally blind again. 3 solid weeks went by, and she held fast to her confession and praising and thanking God for her healing. For 3 solid weeks, she thanked God that she was healed. She thanked Him for healing her eyes, for her sight, for seeing again. She was praising Him every day, thanking Him every day for 3 solid weeks. All of a sudden, on the 3rd week, boom, her eyes popped open. And she never lost her sight again. Praise and thanksgiving. We're looking at praise and thanksgiving. Psalms 107 and in verse 22, the Amplified says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and rehearse His deeds with shouts of joy and singing." Glory to God. Let me read that again. It says, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving." In other words, you don't wait for a feeling. You don't wait to feel good and happy about this thing. No, you get right in there and offer God that sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. I'm sure the woman that went totally blind again, I'm sure it didn't feel good or look good either. But she continued to praise and thank God that she was healed and that she could see. After day after day for 3 weeks. We talked about how do we hold fast to what belongs to us. You are the healed of the Lord. The devil is trying to steal your health. You are the victorious one. He's trying to take the victory that belongs to you from you. So right here it says, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. No, we're not waiting for a feeling to praise and thank God that His word is true. He will see us through according to His word. I am healed. I have what He says I have. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and rehearse His deeds. Lord, You did it here for me. You healed me right here of a blood pressure condition, or You healed me right here of a heart condition, or maybe You had a heartbeat that wasn't regular. I had an irregular heartbeat. And one of my doctors found it. He said, "Do you know you got blah, 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 irregular heartbeat?" And it's not. I said, "You know what? Glory to God. No, I didn't know that. But now that I do know that, it's not going to stay." Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And hit the same doctor that found it. It was the same one that confirmed that I didn't have it anymore, too. Yeah. Yeah. And that was when I was really young and new in the Lord and was just learning the things of God and the things of faith. But I knew enough to not accept an irregular heartbeat. I knew that enough to begin to resist it and say, "Nope, I do not accept that report. Thank You, doctor, but I got another report." Hallelujah. Yeah, just knew in the Lord. But automatically begin to this, that word in you. So right here, sacrifices of thanksgiving and rehearse His deeds. Lord, You did it. You healed me here. You did this for me here. Think about what He has done for you. He saved you. He bought you with a precious price. You're His child. You're His precious possession. You're His prized possession. You're His masterpiece. Come on. You were worth the very death of God Himself, who gave His life for you so that you could have life. His life, the abundant life that He came to give us in John 10:10. He said, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." That's the life that we're supposed to be enjoying, you and I, right here on this earth, the abundant life. Come on now. Is that the life you're choosing to walk in, or are you going to let the enemy steal that from you too? No. So rehearse His deeds with shouts of joy and singing. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shouts of joy. Let me tell you what that word praise, what it means in the Greek and the Hebrew. When you look that word praise up, it means to jump for joy. It means to leap, to shout, to exalt, to spin around, to dance, to whirl about, and to celebrate. Woo! Glory to God. I don't know about you, but that makes me happy right there. Twirl around, spin, dance, shout, celebrate. Now look, you think about this. When he tells you in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3, put on something. Put on the garment of praise for the what spirit of heaviness. When that heaviness tries to get on you, what are you to do? Put on the garment of praise. You thought you were just putting on a shirt and a pair of pants. No, you're putting on a robe of righteousness, a garment of praise. Hallelujah. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Begin to praise him and thank him. You are who he says you are. You're not waiting for a feeling. This is who I am. This is what I have. I possess this right now according to the word of God. I claim it. It's mine. Hallelujah. I'm shouting for joy. Glory to God. I'm thanking you, Lord. I'm leaping for joy. Hallelujah. I'm shouting and dancing. Hallelujah. How many's ever got up and ran around the kitchen table? Woo! I've gotten right up from the table. Pastor Chris and I are sitting there eating, and something will come up and we'll say, No. Glory to God. We'll get up and shout and run around the table and just praise and thank God. God, thank you for your goodness and your faithfulness to us. You're so good to us. We're so grateful and thankful. We just want to shout with a voice of triumph. So you're supposed to put on something. Put that garment on, even when you don't think you want to put it on. It tells us to do it. It didn't tell God to do it. It tells us to do it. Yeah. You think about this. If those football players, now look, my husband likes sports. So I get to watch some of the games with him. And when he's watching those football games, and I watch some of those players get pulled off the side because they get penalized for excessive celebration. And I'm thinking to myself, if they can get penalized for excessive celebration over a football game, then how much more, as a child of God, come on, can I give God some excessive celebration because I know who I am and what he's done for me? Woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. I said, I know what he's done for me, that he's healed me. He's delivered me from the kingdom of darkness. Come on, Colossians 1:13. You are the healed, you are the delivered, you are the free right now. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If they can get penalized for excessive celebration and they do a little side dance on the side, I'm thinking to myself, no, that ain't nothing compared to what the believer should be doing for him every single day. Some excessive celebration because of what the Lord has done for me. Look what the Lord has done. Hallelujah. We have something to celebrate and praise and thank God for. And we sit around and gripe and complain. The gripers get the vipers. No, we want to praise and get raised. Hallelujah. We have too much that he's done for us. Our great God. How great is our God. What a mighty God you are. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Woo! Nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is too difficult for him. Yes, indeed. So you think about that next time you see some on the sidelines excessive celebration, they get penalized. Say, well, we don't have to get penalized because I'm going to do some excessive celebration for my Lord and my God, my King. Hallelujah for what he's done for me. Shout unto God. So look at Psalms 100, verse 1, the New Living Translation. Psalms 100, verse 1, we're talking about the third step in how to hold fast. We talked about confession. We talked about resisting the devil. Now we're talking about praise and thanksgiving. The New Living Translation says of Psalms 100 verse 1, shout with the joy of the Lord. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Glory to God. The King James Version says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Glory to God. And we don't even want to, come on now. Shout. Shout. Psalms 98 verse 4, New Living Translation. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break out in praise and sing for joy. Hallelujah. What are you doing when you're doing, when you're praising God? Well, the Bible says it. God inhabits the praises of his people. When you praise God, you win battles. God, when you praise God, it creates the right atmosphere for a move of God in your life. The Bible says praise stills the enemy. Praise silences the enemy. Sometimes you might get bombarded with all these thoughts coming from the devil and you don't know what to do. If you begin to stand up and praise him, you're creating the atmosphere for the power of God to move on your behalf. Come on now. For the strength of God, because it says that through strength, the infant silenced the voice of the enemy. Through strength. What's that? The strength of God comes in your situation and begins to work and move and operate. When we just begin to praise and thank God, we're creating the right atmosphere. He inhabits the praises of his people. Psalms 95 verse 1, New Living Translation. Come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully. What? To the rock of our salvation. Psalms 84, verse 2, New Living Translation. I long, yes, I faint with longing to enter the courts of the Lord with my whole being, body, and soul. I will shout joyfully to the living God. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's you and I. Then listen to Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. This is the Amplified Version. Revelation chapter 19, verse 1. Well, let me read it in the New Living first. It says, after this, I heard what sounded like a vast crowd in heaven shouting, praise the Lord. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Are you like that vast crowd that's already in heaven shouting praise the Lord? Well, we're here on the earth and we can sure shout praise the Lord to our God, the God of our salvation. Can we not? Come on now. That was the New Living. And then the Amplified says right here in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 1. It says, after this I heard what sounded like a mighty shout of a great crowd in heaven. Woo, they're already shouting in heaven. And what did Jesus say? My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I heard what sounded like a mighty shout of a great crowd in heaven, exclaiming, hallelujah, praise the Lord, salvation and glory, splendor, majesty and power, dominion and authority belong to our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Woo. Yeah, if we're to exemplify heaven on this earth, then we got some catching up to do. I don't know about you. We got some catching up to do. I'm not going to let that crowd outbeat me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Psalms 47 verse 1. Shout to God with a voice of triumph and songs of joy. First it says, clap your hands, all you peoples. Shout to God with a voice of triumph. It didn't say with the voice of defeat now, did it? No. It didn't say with the voice of defeat. It said with a voice of triumph, we're to shout unto God. You know, Smith Wigglesworth said this, and he's a man that's already gone to heaven, but when he was here on the earth, he had 23 people raised from the dead under his ministry. God used him in extraordinary, spectacular miracles, signs, and wonders. But he said this statement. He said, no man can doubt if he will learn to shout. Hallelujah. He said, no man can doubt if he will learn to shout. Shout the doubt out. Hallelujah. If you will learn to shout and not doubt, God will work it all out. Let me say that again. If you will learn to shout and not doubt, God will work it all out. Hallelujah. So when you praise, you win battles. Why? Because God inhabits the praises of his people. Praise steals, silences the enemy. It brings the strength of God into our situation. It causes the right atmosphere to be formed for a move of God in our lives. And we're wondering, how come we can't get this, do this? Just begin to praise. It's amazing. Your praise and thanksgiving. We're talking about how to hold fast, how to hold fast, how to hold fast what belongs to us. Hallelujah. So when you praise, walls come down. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. So if a football player can get penalized for excessive celebration, you and I don't get penalized. We can excessive celebrate the Lord, our God, our Savior, our King. Come on now. Hallelujah. We're talking about creating the right atmosphere. We talked about, go back to the Hebrew and the Greek words for that word praise, to jump for joy. How many of you jumped for joy lately? Woo! Jump for joy. Does that really matter, Pastor Debbie? Well, you tried a few times. See how it works for you. Hallelujah. Jump for joy, to leap. Exalt, shout for joy, spin around, dance, to whirl about, and to celebrate. Well, I can't, too many people are watching. See, that's the problem. You think they're watching you. They're watching and looking to God that's beside you. Just like you're supposed to have your eyes on the Lord looking at him. Get your eyes off yourself. Get them back on the Lord. Stop worrying about thinking about what others are going to think. It ain't about what they think. It's all about what you're doing and why you're doing what you're doing. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Putting on that garment of praise, a sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise. What does it tell us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15? We're going to end there today. Next week we'll pick up on this. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15, it says, through him, through who? Jesus, therefore, let us constantly and at all times offer up to God a sacrifice of praise. There's that word sacrifice again, Pastor Debbie. Yes, God is trying to get something across to us. It's not about waiting for a feeling in order to praise him. No, he wants you to praise him when the walls are still up. He wants you to praise him in the midnight hour when it looks the worst, feels the worst, seems to be the worst, you've been told the worst. He wants you to get up and praise him. Hallelujah. He's trying to get you to praise, to get raised out of that situation. You're wanting to get out of it, praise your way out of it. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. So we're going to stand to our feet and we're going to exercise. We're going to release our faith and do exactly what the Bible's been, what this Bible's been saying right here for us today. Glory to God. Amen. You're not looking to the person on the right, person on the left, person in front of you, person behind you. No. You're expressing your own heart to God. He's hearing your voice, which there is no other voice in the world like your voice. That's how distinct and uniquely designed you have been created and made by God. You're the only one with that voice, and he knows and identifies that voice with all these other voices that are coming up before him. Hallelujah. He knows which one is yours. Hallelujah. Praise God. So right here, we get an opportunity to praise God. Hallelujah. So Lord, we do just that right now. We praise you. Hallelujah. We shout unto our God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Praise our God. Praises be to you forevermore. Glory to God. You're so worthy of all praise. Worthy of all glory. Worthy of all honor. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We praise your name, Lord. We praise your name. How wonderful you are. How beautiful you are. How glorious you are. How matchless you are. We bless your name. We praise your name. We magnify the Lord our God. We glorify the Lord our God. How good you are. How marvelous you are. How wonderful you are. Blessed be your name forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise your name. Praise your name. Praise your name. Glory to our God. Hallelujah. Do you have to be that loud, Pastor Debbie? Why not? Strike terror and fear into your enemies. When you shout and you shout unto God with the voice of triumph, you strike terror into your enemies. The devil hates praise and worship. Remember, God inhabits the praises of his people. He takes up residence. You want to get close with him? You praise and shout. You praise God and you'll be amazed. The presence that fills you and fills your room. God inhabits those praises, people. And when your attention is undivided right on him, he knows. And he knows the sacrifice that it might be for some of you. Some of you, it might be an easy thing right now. But he also recognizes those times when you're sacrificing that sacrifice of praise. But remember, you're creating that atmosphere for a movement of God in your life. And it silences the enemy and it brings the strength of God into your situation so that God can move and work on your behalf. If you really knew what was happening in the spirit realm every time you praised and shouted unto God, you would be doing much more of it. Much more of it if you only knew. Sometimes he can give you a glimpse into the spirit realm and see what's happening. And your enemies are fleeing one way and fleeing another way. And come on now, we're going to look at some things next week about the power of praise and thanksgiving in our lives. We're thanking him that his word is true and he will do what he said he will do for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. So, Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you for you, Lord God, that you are everything. You mean everything to us. Oh, Father, thank you for being our all in all. Our Savior, our Lord, our God, our King, our Healer, our Deliverer, our Bread Provider, our Caretaker, our Shield, our Defender, our Shield, our Protector. Thank you. We don't take these things lightly, Lord God. We mean what we say and we say what we mean to you, Lord God, what you mean to us. Thank you. We thank you today that your word pierces the heart of each listener, Lord God, and brings forth much fruit in their lives, fruit that will remain and bring glory and honor to your name forever and ever, Lord Jesus. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it helped you. You can visit our website at gocfc.com to listen to other life-giving messages, read the pastor's blog, or to find out how you can be a part of an upcoming service. We hope to hear from you or see you soon. God bless and have a wonderful day.